Hello, this is Brother Simmons. I'm from Leading the Leaders. And throughout the week, we have a podcast that's concentrated on leadership. And on Sunday, we have one that's concentrated on the Word of God. Each Sunday, we do an hour-long interactive type Bible study, which means you will hear other voices on the recording besides my own. But we look to explore an options of the Bible where all leadership principles are arrived from. So we want to invite you each Sunday here to join us and have your Bibles with you, and we will open up what the Word of God says so that we have a closer walk with Jesus and have a more firm understanding of the Word of God. So welcome and thank you for listening. Okay, so we thank God for another day of allowing us to see His goodness. And we're going to begin in Genesis 4, but we begin with a prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come take part in your Word. Lord, we ask, as always, that you open up the hearts and our minds to what the Word has to say, that it will become powerful and meaningful in our everyday lives. We ask all these things in your precious Son Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Okay, so we are looking at Genesis 4 again, but prior to that, I think I told you guys I spoke with my sister on it was a couple of days ago. One of the things we talked about was that when we look at whatever it is that we do, and we see that's prevalent in it seems like everyday Christian life, that we are proclaiming that we have some righteousness in us and that what we are doing is somehow acceptable to God. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. And that's why, as a Christian, we must get into the Word of God and we must understand what the Word of God says, because if we don't, there's no way we can follow the truth. So all that stuff about love and all that stuff goes right to the wayside when there is no truth pertaining to what it is that we're talking about. And the truth is only found in the Word of God. And that's why it says that God is the truth. So His Word is truth. Okay? So we'll divvy into that a little later. But let's go back, and I want to do a quick review, because I think we got down to, I can't remember what verse it was in Genesis 4. But we want to go back, and I'll do a quick summary. So we talked about before that the roots of sin was found in Genesis 3. Okay, so the roots of sin was found in Genesis 3, but then the fruit of sin was found in Genesis 4. Okay, so let's go back to Genesis 4 and 1. Okay, what does it say?
It says, and Adam knew what the Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare, and bare Cain. And said, I have gone in there.
Okay, so we said before that this was in response to that she understood what God was saying in Genesis 3:15, where He said the seed of the woman is going to destroy the serpent. Okay? So she was thinking that at the birth of Cain, that this was going to be the man that God spoke of. Okay? That this man child that the Lord spoke of would be the seed of the woman that came to destroy the evil one. Now, we know that that was not true, okay, because Cain became the first murderer on the earth and not a savior of it, okay? So he went in the exact opposite way. And then in verse 2 it says, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect for Abel and to his offering. Okay? Now,
I think we said this before, but it's very re-engaging. The fact that Cain and Abel both brought an offering means that they knew the practice of worship because they brought an offering unto the Lord. The offering they brought unto the Lord, they had to find that was they had to get that from somewhere. Okay? So it wasn't just Cain who brought it or Abel who brought it. Both of them brought it. This means that Adam and Eve, and most likely the Lord himself, taught them that it was expected of them to bring an offering unto the Lord. Though it's not mentioned specifically in the scriptures, we understand the fact that they did this means that it was established as the right thing to do. Okay? So even though the scripture does not say that Adam and Eve taught them or the Lord God taught them how to do this, the fact is that the oldest son did it and the younger son did it mean it was commonplace. It was something that had happened. Okay? Now, many people suggest that the reason why God did not accept Cain's offering because it was not as Abel's. Now, it says Abel's offering was what? It said, and Abel he brought of the firstling of his flock. What is the firstling of his flock? What does that mean? It means the best of it. Okay? So it wasn't just the first of it. It was the best of the first. Okay? So he was giving God off the top. All right? But a lot of people question why God did not accept since Cain was a tiller of the ground. So in other words, he was a farmer. And Abel was basically like a shepherd. Why didn't God accept Cain's offering?
He had an animal.
Okay.
I think it's a fruit.
He brought fruit instead of an animal. Okay, now here we go. If we understand the scripture, right? If we really understand the scriptures, right? Where did they get this from? Where did we get it? Where did they get it from? Did they just make it up? Okay, it's in the Bible, yes.
Genesis.
In it's in where?
Back in Genesis when God clothed them.
Okay, so Genesis 3. Go back to Genesis 3. 3, I think, is 21. I believe, don't quote me on that one, but if you go to 3 and 21, and it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of sheep and clothe them. Okay? That's it. So Genesis 3:21 says that the Lord God clothed them with coats of sheep. Where did he get the coats of skin? He had to slaughter an animal. Why? Because remember previously they sowed what kind of leaves together?
Fig.
Fig leaves.
Fruit.
Okay? They sowed fig leaves together. That was fruit. Fruit leaves. But it missed the mark. Okay? So we got here in scripture where it says that based off of what they were doing, or excuse me, what the brothers was doing, one was following their parents and one was following God's way. Okay?
Okay.
All right, but this is a key though we gotta understand. Because we're going to go back into something we discussed. Like I said before, I looked at what we discussed previously in Genesis 4, and I decided that we really need to look a little more closely at it because I went over the top of some things. We covered it, but we did not cover it in depth, and we need to because there's a bunch of concepts, including the concept, am I my brother's keeper? Okay? and by my brother's keeper is also in there. Now, there's another passage of scripture in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus says something about this same thing. About the same thing about how we cannot supply the need ourselves. Okay? We cannot do it. But this is the basis of it. It's found in Genesis, and this is when it goes out from this. Everything else after that is then wrong. Okay? So it wasn't because of the type of thing he brought. It was because of the position of his heart that he brought it. Okay? Because if you understand the sacrifice system in Leviticus, they have an offering called the first fruit. They have the offering of the first fruit. But remember, the law has not yet been given. So the law is not, and that's important to understand too. God has not set down the law yet on the earth pertaining to mankind. All right? So now let's go back into the scripture, and we see that, where were we at? We was in Genesis 4, right? Okay, and so hold on, let me see. Okay, now, Abel kept sheep and Cain grew produce, but that's really not the problem here, okay? In Hebrews 11 and 4, I want you to go there because we're going to talk to this. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened with Cain and Abel before we move on. So go to Hebrews 11 and 4. Hebrews 11 and 4. Are you got it? If you have it, read it.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God sacrificed of his gift, and by it he be dead.
Okay. What I want you all to see is, it says, and by it, he being dead, yet speaking. If you don't do anything except for come to God in the flesh, try to serve him in the flesh, try to do all these fleshy things, it's going to amount to nothing. When you die, everything that you do is going to go with you. Okay? But if you live by faith, faith testifies after you're gone. It was not after Jesus' death that the disciples received power and they took on everything that he was telling them they were going to do. If your life In my thing here, which this is found in other passages of scripture also, but your life living should be more powerful at your death than it should be at your living. Did you know that? Because that's what he's saying. Isn't it more powerful for his at his death that he was yet speaking? Then if I'm alive and I'm speaking, I could be talking my own nonsense. But it says, by faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And then what did it say? By he obtained witness that he was righteous. And then it says, God testifying of his gift. Why? Because he accepted it. It's sad to say that many Christians, God is not going to accept our gift. Because he does not accept anything by way of the flesh. And if that's the only gift you have, you're in trouble because his God is a spirit, and he that worships him must do so in spirit and in truth. Okay? So according to this verse, that is Hebrews 11:4, the sacrifice itself was wrong that Cain offered up. It was not an animal sacrifice. And he went away from what God had already ordained them to do. But you know what? This is a very familiar passage or very familiar thing that we are doing. Man is trying to circumvent God's standard and establish their own standard. You see it all across the world. You see it in Christian nation. You see it everywhere. But now this is the thing. If you go down to verse 7, let's skip down to verse 7, because I'm not going to probably get there today, but I just want to pick up something real quick there. No, you know what? Never mind. Don't worry about it. We'll get there. We'll get there. But I want us to understand that when we do what we do, that there's something behind it. Remember we talked about this before? God don't want us operating in the flesh. We're not to fight our battles in the flesh. Go to John 3 and 12 real quick. Well, before you go there, go to Matthew 10. Before you go to John 3 and 12, go to Matthew 10. Now, did y'all remember we studied this earlier in the week? When we went to Matthew 10 and 36?
Yes, I remember.
You remember that when we talked about when we were talking about did Jesus bring peace on earth? Because a lot of people say at Christmas time, peace, goodwill to men, all this stuff like that, and then peace on earth.
And then we say 4
to 36. Yeah, but 36 says, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Who was Abel's brother? Cain. In the same household. So the Lord Jesus must have known what he's talking about, huh? Because he tell us that foe that you really got to worry about, you ain't got to look way out there because they're right there in front of you. Okay? They're right there in front of you. So a man's foe shall be the of his own household. Okay, now let's go to 1 John. Go to John in 3 and 12, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, I John, not just John, it's I John. So 1 John 3 and 12. Go.
John asked him who was of that wicked one and truly brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's was right.
Okay, so you remember, I, John, talks about the family, okay? That's what, when John writes I, John, his first epistle, or what have you, he's writing that to help us understand the family of God, okay? And one of the things he's talking about, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Okay? So he's saying, just like with Adam and Eve, okay, Satan is controlling Cain. Okay? And what he did then, he sued his brother because of the control that he allowed Satan to have over him. And that all he did was evil. And the reason why he did it, because he was jealous of the works of his brother, which was righteous. What made the works of his works righteous? Because it was in line with what God said, not because he did it. So God did not respect Abel's offering because of Abel. He respected because of himself, because it brought honor and glory to him, which is always the format that the devil uses. Okay? So now John tells us that Cain was motivated by Satan, okay? Cain's action leading to the sacrifice he made before God was evil. It was no mistake, and it wasn't a shortcoming on Cain's part. Cain was our example of a rebellion against God. Now, did Cain disobey because he lacked faith? No, he knew who God was. You know why? It wasn't a strange place for him to question God when God says, "Where's your brother?" So apparently he had been talking with the Lord. But go to Psalm 10 and 4. Go to Psalm 10 and 4. You there? What does Psalm 10 4 say?
The wicked will despise of his counsel. Is that counsel?
Huh?
It says, did I say it of his counsel?
Confidence.
Confidence. Will not seek after God. God is not in his counsel.
Okay, so the wicked relies on their own counsel and confidence. Okay? They don't rely on the Lord because the Lord is not in all their thoughts. But remember, we talked about this yesterday when we went into Proverbs 3, right? 5, 6, we see that we're supposed to lean on the Lord. We're supposed to trust in the Lord with our whole heart and don't lean on our own understanding. When you lean on your own understanding, that's the process of pride, by the way. Because you should know you have absolutely no answers. If your answers do not come from God, you actually don't have any answers. Just like if your answers come from man, you don't have any answers. At best, it's temporarily good, and then at the end, it's going to be all messed up for you. Okay? Now, last Sunday, we covered the way of Cain. Okay? The way of Cain. Go to Jude 1:11, because I want to go back into this a little bit before we go forward. Matter of fact, we may not go too much farther. But I want to get this down because we need to... Jude 1:11, I said, is what we covered, I believe. So we're going back there. Okay, so what does Jude 1:11 say?
Okay. Woe unto them.
Woe. Woe unto them.
Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam.
Balaam.
And perished in the gainsaying of Paul.
Okay, now look. Those are three different separate things that they, and he's talking about the Pharisees here, that they're doing. So one was they went the way of Cain, and they did the error of Balaam, and they did the gains key of Kor, okay, which all of them are different. Okay, go for it. What question you had?
I was just gonna ask, why was he? That's what I read the. Who unto them?
It's woe. Like woe. Because he thinks peace proclaiming it. Woe unto them.
It was like a town speaking.
No, this is a letter he wrote to some people, but it made it into the scriptures since God wanted us to know. Woe unto them that do all these things. Going to the way of Cain, that go to the era of Balaam, which we can do, each one of those are things are discussing in itself, but we're not going to discuss the era of Balaam nor the era of Kor, because that's talking about the people that led a rebellion against Moses, okay? And in the Old Testament, that's spelled with a K, okay? But in here, they spell it with a C, because this is Greek, and the Old Testament was in Hebrew. Okay, so now look. So we asked a question on last Sunday, which I'm going to see if we retain any of what we talked about. What is the way of Cain? When it says, woe to them that go to the way of Cain, what is that talking about? Okay, don't all you guys answer at once. Because the Bible says that, and you said that they have exclamation point, you probably should take notice of what he's talking about. When he said, woe unto them, he's putting a exclamation point there that lets you know this is some bad stuff. This is really, really bad. So what is it talking about when it talks about the way of Cain? What is the way of Cain?
What of Cain? Is it not having all your faith in God?
Okay. It's lacking faith in God, but it's more than that.
Going against God.
Is what now?
Going against God.
Well, it's more than that, because we said that Cain led a rebellion against God, but this is what it means to be, when you go in the way of Cain, is a fleshly way of salvation, okay? It's trying to attain salvation through flesh, because you said today you minus faith. When you subtract faith, then you're doing it of your own accord. So it's trying to, if someone or a group of people trying to attain salvation, but it's fleshly. And we see a lot of people doing that today. That's why they have no relationship with who Christ is and who God is. They don't have a concept of it. And we talked about that, I think, yesterday, that all that stuff in the Bible means absolutely nothing if you don't have a relationship with Him, because it won't be powerful, you won't understand it, it won't be attainable, you won't be able to transport it to anybody else, and you certainly won't be convicted of it. Mm-hmm. All that is because you cannot come to God by your means. Just like we talked about when Adam and Eve sold those fig leaves together, they was trying to make a covering, but it was flesh and it was doing it. They was trying to bypass the bloody mess that we required to slew an animal in order to get skins. That's called the cross in the New Testament. Okay? So the whole conflict between God and Cain was started in the heart of Cain. Okay? He did not believe in the shedding of blood for forgiveness of sin. This is why He brought the offering He brought. Today, many people are not believing in the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. That's why they tell you you can bypass the cross and still get to heaven and get to God, basically. And you absolutely cannot. Often today, we try to replace the cross with something else. Like, for example, we try to say, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. What's wrong with me saying I'm going to commit my life to Jesus?
we don't, God doesn't, I mean, we don't choose Christ. He chooses us.
No, but what's wrong with me committing my life to Jesus? Don't Jesus want me to commit my life to him?
Okay, so I know there's something wrong with you.
No, there's a step missing before you commit your life to Jesus.
Oh, is that
you got to go to the cross. What happens at the cross?
Oh, repentance.
You acknowledge that you're no good. You acknowledge that you cannot save yourself from your sin. Therefore, you have to adopt salvation. Okay? And I want to make sure you guys understand that repentance, right, is not the same thing as accepting salvation. Because before you get saved, right, you can't turn back to something you've never established. Repentance is actually for saved people. Salvation is for the sinners. So I know a lot of people go around preaching that sinners should repent, but repent means to return to something. So when God talks about repentance, he told the nation of Israel to do what? Return unto me. Repent and return unto me. He didn't say that for the rest of the nations. What did he tell the rest of the nations? Accept me. So salvation is acceptance. Repentance is returning back to something that you lost, that you have left.
You can't repent
because exactly. When you're born into sin. You're not born into heaven or going to heaven. So you ain't returning to no heaven. Okay? Only Jesus fit that bill. So what we have before us is salvation is what Cain was trying to do. He was trying to get acceptance to the Lord by the work of his flesh. Isn't that sort of like what the Muslims are doing? They say, I'm going to pray my way to heaven. I pray seven, I'm a get my little carpet or whatever they do, and I'm going to face Mecca, and I'm going to pray seven times every day, no matter what, and somehow I'm going to make it into heaven. Well, ain't that the work of the flesh? Because I can't find in the Bible where it tells me to pray seven times to Mecca. Nor do I have in Scripture where Jesus told me to do it or he did it. See, just like us today, Cain did not believe that this was a big problem. He didn't believe God's standard was important. He said, well, shoot, I'll do it my way. My brother's out there killing a lamb or whatever, or sheep. Man, I'm going to get some of these best. I'm going to get some of these things because these things is wonderful. Many people believe that Cain's gift was absolutely beautiful. And you know what would happen if you would have looked at Cain's gift and Abel's gift? Which one would have looked like a hot mess?
Okay.
Abel. It was a bloody man. He did a sacrifice. It probably looked good until he killed him. But then it was blood everywhere. And it was blood that we shared in order to do what? Do what God has said.
So it was the fact of the blood of the lamb. When they did a sacrifice, I think the main thing is the blood. Is that what it looks like for us to Jesus Christ?
No, that's a sacrifice that's saying we're waiting on Christ. Remember, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament of the animals never, ever took away sin. It was a temporary covering that God provided, saying, if you have faith in what I'm telling you to do, then you'll sacrifice an animal that's going to point to Christ. One day coming and dying for the sins of the world. So in the Old Testament, just like the New Testament, you had to have faith. Cain had none.
The Old is the New. No, it's the Old is the New.
Contained.
Oh, it is?
The New and the Old explain, right? Okay. So we've got to understand that concept, though, because a lot of times we as Christians, we are saying things that it's not technically biblical to say, because we should be, just like with Cain and Abel, the offering that we've given to God, we got to be very particular when God tells us to do something a certain way. You go and read Leviticus. Leviticus is very, very detailed when it comes down to the offerings and how they're supposed to do it. You go to Exodus. When Exodus and God was instructing Moses how to build a tabernacle or how to set it up, it's very, very detailed. He's telling them to go so much to cubits and to do this and do this, and this is made of this. He didn't say, hey, put up a guideline. He said, no, I want the ring to be made of brass, and I want this to be made of silver. And all those things meant something. Okay? So we got to understand that we are not to operate in the way of Cain. Cain was self-righteous, and he was self-sufficient, and he lacked submission to the Lord. Justification, that is us, our justification is by faith and faith alone. You're not going to be justified before God without faith. That's why the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. That means you won't be justified. That means you cannot be in his sight, because God can't stand anything that's riddled with sin, because he hates it. It goes against him. He's repelled by it. He's repulsed by it. What does Romans 3:28 say? Go to Romans 3:28. Matter of fact, we're going to go to a couple of Romans here, a couple of verses in Romans. We start with Romans 3 and 8, I think I said, right? Okay, good. 3 and 28. Huh? What did it say?
Therefore, we can believe that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Okay, so we conclude, that's the end, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of work. Okay? That's what the scripture says. I didn't make this up. But if you come to God in your flesh, you say you're being justified by the works of the law. And that's not possible. Go to Romans 4 and 5. You there? Romans 4 and 5? Go. What did it say?
But to him that worketh not, be believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Okay. Do you guys remember when he said that Abraham was justified? Right? Well, how did Abraham justify? How was he justified? Did Abraham actually do anything? No, he simply believed. Now go to Romans 5 and 1. So you was at 4, so go to 5.
Amen.
What does it say?
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, for God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so once again, therefore, being justified by faith, or what have you, faith is the thing that justifies us, that we have a proper standing before God. And oh, by the way, we talked about this before. Matter of fact, let me do a quick segue. We talked about this before, and what we said was that God, that we are to forgive others, right? Because the Bible says that we're not supposed to hoard hard feelings towards others, okay? So we're supposed to forgive others. Now, here's a question, though. What was your question?
No question. I know this is all good. I'm not saying it's bad, but Just question. So when did grace come into play?
Hey, me.
Isn't it grace that saves you?
Grace saves you. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Does it come into play after or before?
No. Look. Do you have grace? Is what? Okay. Grace. No, the love of God is why he saved you by grace, okay? But when I say that you're saved by grace, what does that mean, though? Because that's what the Bible says, right? The Bible says we're saved by grace, right? So what does that mean, though, if I say that we're saved by grace? Do we have faith?
No.
We don't have faith? What do you mean, said? Either we don't do, either we don't. Which is it? Do we have faith or we don't? Okay, so we have faith. All right? So having faith is what? But it says faith is a substance, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? And it ain't just a belief system. Some people think faith is a belief system. But that's not true. It's more than that, because the Bible says it's a substance. Okay? So now go to Ephesians 2 and 8. You there? Ephesians 2 and 8? Come on, you asked a question. I'm trying to answer quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly.
Okay. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself.
Okay, so not of the flesh, not of yourself, but by grace you're saved through faith. So what is faith? Faith is the thing that connects the grace of God to you. Do you get what I'm saying? So you got to have faith in order to tap into the grace that God has given you. It's like this. Let's say that I gave you a bottle of water, right? I say, see, there, here's a bottle of water. But you don't use your hands to reach out and open up the bottle of water. You just stay the bottle. You try to drink it. What are you doing? Nothing, because you ain't going to get no water until you reach out with your hand in order to receive it and open the bottle up to drink the water. Mm-hmm. It's the same concept. Faith is the thing, is the vehicle that we use in order to tap into the grace of God. And it's nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's like the ability to do something to extend your relationship with God.
Say that again.
No, I get
that. All right, but it's by grace. That's a God crop. That's a God program, but through faith. Because faith is the vehicle that you can touch the grace of God. You can't use any other method. Okay? That's important to note. Because if you try any other method, it's not going to work. That's why it's impossible to please God without faith. Okay? So now, let's go back to where we were at and what we were covering, because we're still talking about the way of Cain. Excuse me. Okay. Okay, go to John 6. Go to John 6. Let's see if we can expand on some of this thing here, man. John 6. Oh, easy. Go to John 6 and Go to 28, I think. All right, yeah, let's go to John 6, 28 and 29.
John what?
John 6, 28 and 29. Okay, we ready? Olivia, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Read it.
You said 26 and 29.
John 6, 28 and 29.
Oh, okay, I'm there. Then
Go.
Said they unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
Okay. So now in this passage of Scripture, apparently they don't believe on Jesus, but they're asking him, how can we do the work of God? If you don't believe on Christ Jesus, guess what? You ain't doing the work for God. And I don't mean have a belief system in him, because apparently they knew he was there because he was there in the flesh.
Does it have faith in
him? Not just have faith in him. They don't acknowledge him as God, as Lord and Savior. They're not acknowledging that. Many people today, like I said before, they acknowledge he's Savior, but they refuse to acknowledge him as Lord because they don't believe on him. And they don't believe on who sent him. But yet they keep trying to say they're going to heaven. Which last time I checked, God is ruling heaven. And you ain't walking up in God's house any kind of way because you are the man or the woman. You are that in a bag of chips, right? No, sir, that's not going to work. Okay? So now let's go back to Genesis because we're almost completely done. Okay? So now go to Genesis 4, and let's begin at verse 5. Okay? We there?
Yes.
Go. What did you say?
But unto Abel.
Cain.
But unto Cain and to his offspring he had not respect. And Cain was a wolf. And his
continent. Okay, so based off of what happened previously where God accepted Abel's gift and rejected Cain's, in verse 5 it says, then Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. What does it mean when it says that his countenance fell? What does that mean?
He got upset.
Well, that's being wroth. That means I'm angry. But the Bible tells me what, though? What does the Bible tell me about being angry? You know, by the way, matter of fact, do what?
Be angry. You can be angry, but not sin.
Okay, so it says be angry, but sin not. Okay? That's important for us to understand. So the Bible don't tell us to disregard our feelings. It says you do not let your anger do what? Take over what you're doing. Which a lot of people do. They get so mad and so angry that they can't even see straight. You ever been so angry you can't see straight? Well, let me tell you from experience, it's not a good thing. It's not. Could you lose your mind, basically? You know, they say you have to be temporarily insanity. Well, that's what that means. All right, so Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry. So it tells you to be angry. If somebody do something wrong with you, it says be angry. You don't say, oh, you know, God love you. I'm not going to be angry. No, that ain't what the Bible says. It says be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. So you are not supposed to hold hostility in your heart. So that's why you get it out. Because if somebody step on my foot, I'm going to go, hey, you're stepping on my foot. Get off my foot. I need my toes. But now if I beat the joker up, you know what I mean, and stomp him a little bit, especially if I can do it, that probably would not be the biblical thing to do. All right? But the Bible commands us, and all, matter of fact, all through the scripture, the Bible never tells you to reject your emotions, okay? I do not want you guys to believe that the Bible tells you that if you are sad, that you're supposed to act happy, okay? Or if you have trouble, then you're supposed to pretend like it's not trouble. No, you're supposed to give that thing to God so that he can move you from that state. Because let me tell you what it means when his continence fell. He actually fell into a form of depression is what he did, which means it consumed him. How do you know it consumed him? Because he killed his brother. It was messing with him so bad that he ended up killing his brother. He said, I'm going to get rid of the problem. The problem ain't me. The problem's Abel. I'm going to get rid of that joker. See, this is what the devil want us to believe, and that's why I say whenever you have a problem and it starts with something else inside yourself, you are jacked up. Because you're taking yourself outside of the equation. And you're trying to say, oh, the other person is the problem. I'm not the problem. No, you're the problem. Okay? That's not what the Bible says. So let's make sure we understand the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to reject our feelings, but we do not allow our feelings to determine how we act. Okay? Just like if I'm all frowned up and stuff like that. And we talked about angry, and that's why I don't get why all black people seem like they got an angry gene in them, okay? Because they're always angry about something. They're angry about the weather. They're angry about their job. They're angry about the white man. They're angry about school. They're angry about the money they don't have. They're angry about the car they got. They're angry about their wife. They're angry about their husband. They're angry about their girlfriend, their boyfriend. They're angry about their dog, their cat, their rat. They're always angry about something. And it's one of the worst things you can be because that is nothing more than a way to get you outside of the will of God. You can't do the work of God being angry. It's not even possible. Now look what it says. And this is why we knew that Cain and Abel must have talked with the Lord. And the Lord said unto Cain, this is verse 6 now. I'm going back to Genesis 4. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy confidence fell? He said, why, dude? Remember we talked about this the other day, questioning. He's giving him a way to question. Matter of fact, he's trying to lead him into a deeper truth than what Cain has. Look what he even says in verse 7. If thou dost well, If thou dost well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou dost well not, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Man, he should have listened to that. He should have listened to that one. Because Jesus, I believe this is Jesus speaking to him. But the Lord God is telling him right now, he's saying, listen. If you do well, whose standard is that? That's God's standard. He said, if you do well, then the standard of God, you will do well. You do well because it will be accepted. But if you do not, sin is waiting at the door, and it's going to consume you, because it says, and it shall rule over him. And we found out this is what happened. So God gave Cain a chance to repent and go down do not go down the way of destruction. But when you allow a stronghold to deny the acceptance of the truth, you're bound for destruction. By the way, this is the third stronghold mentioned after the fall. Which is the first? And why is it important to note the first stronghold in the Bible? So this is the third stronghold we have mentioned. Which is the first?
Well, he introduced a lot of that stuff.
Stronghold. What is the first stronghold? I said this is the third stronghold.
Oh. Stronghold.
Rebellion?
Okay, no. But what's the stronghold? Okay, no. But what started the whole
rebellion?
It wasn't rebellion.
The lie. I mean,
the lust.
What started the whole conversation, though?
When did Eve adopt the lie?
Okay, but that's not the stronghold. Go to Proverbs 16:18. We there yet?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Why is the word before destruction and a
naughty?
Naughty.
Okay. So what does the Bible say? It says pride is what they had. Because remember, Eve never adopted the lie the devil was telling her until after she said that she saw that it was good. That's the first stronghold. When you go into the God hates some things, right? Y'all know that, right?
Right.
It's seven things it says he hates.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first one? No, the first one ain't sin.
Pride? No.
What does it say?
Is it pride?
I know pride. In Proverbs 6, it says,
proud, look.
Right? It says, six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven an abomination in them. You really hate them. The first one is a proud look. That's pride. That's the first thing on God's hit parade. And then the second one is a lying tongue. Guess what Cain had? He displayed pride because he was trying to tell God, I can come to you by my own method. I don't care what Cain did. You want to accept my sacrifice. Then he asked him, hey, where's your brother? Oh, I don't know. I ain't his keeper. You're lying. And oh, by the way, keep going. And hands that shed innocent blood. What in the world? He better than a thousand. Matter of fact, if you keep reading, all these junk is in Cain's deals. It says, a hand that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked abominations, feet that are swift to run the mischief. A false wisdom that speak lies, and he that soweth discord around the brethren. He pretty much did all of that. But the first thing is pride. Okay? And that's what we have to guide against, because that's the stronghold. If the devil can get you to understand that you should be proud, and it's okay to be proud. That's a lie, by the way. If he can get you to do that, everything else is possible, because pride go before destruction, any haughty or a presumptuous spirit before a fall. What is presumptuous? Means I just take it as I see fit to take it. I'm going to do it whether God accepts it or not. I'm doing this junk. I'm going to make it happen, even though God says it's not going to happen. Okay? So this is what we got to understand. This is not right, but it's what the Bible, this is not right for us to do, but this is what the Bible says. All the other strongholds that come into effect, like, for instance, when they saw God, they was fearful. Fear is not a stronghold. They said, we heard your voice. In walking in the cool of the day in the garden, and we hit ourselves. That's fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. That's a stronghold that came on because of the original pride thing, the original sin they have of pride. Okay? So we're going to stop here. What questions do we have about Genesis 4 thus far? We have none?
Nope. No, I do.
Okay. If we have no questions, then we're going to end with a prayer. We thank you, God, for allowing us to come take part in your word, Lord. We ask, as always, that we not just be hearers of the word, but we doers of the word, that everywhere we go and everything we do, that we will not go in the way of Cain, that we will walk by faith and not by sight, and that we will do so that you will get the glory and the honor. And we ask all these things in your precious Son, Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, and thanks for listening to our podcast today. We really appreciate it. We hope that there was something said that would have you have a deeper walk with Jesus, and your knowledge of God has been expanded based off of the Word of God. Once again, this is Craig from Leading the Leaders. If you want to contact us about any of the subject matter on this podcast, you can do so by looking us up on the web at leadingtheleadersllc.net, what have you. And you can find many things that you can enhance your leadership. Also, if you want to find out information or material that we covered during the podcast, once again, we thank you for listening. God bless.